Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Team who watch this guy every day very closely is like a mole who was probably talking to his dad, who also happened to play there and is a legend there, and getting information on like the personality and the character of the guy that, you know, like, it's not secondhand. It's not the coach talking about the player. It's not going back to his high school coach. It's literally like someone commenting on the guy that he sees around the clock in the showers, in the film room, in the weight room, etc.
Yep.
And so I don't think that's insignificant. I think that is relevant to this. I think it does make them feel even better about the pick. I also had the image of, and this is just awful, I don't think either one of, well, you might have done it, Chris. I don't think Donnie's ever been out there. I'm just picturing Fautanu, a very large human, stuffed like a sardine on that Spirit Airlines red eye, going from Vegas to
Pittsburgh. Very bad. Brutal.
I think that's like the only red
eye. I hope he was on the, no, Southwest, I thought, operated a red eye out of there.
I hope they got him Southwest. But even Southwest, I mean, can the Steelers...
Exit row.
But can they suck up to Southwest, and even with the way that the first-come, first-serve seating works,
he's got to just go front row or exit row is his only game there. And by the way,
but
just,
if he gets in, if he's, you know, if he's got a low number, if he's on,
they've got to try to help him out. Doesn't somebody that's on the plane
recognize
like,
him as
out,
a large?
Hey, wait a minute, this guy just got drafted by an NFL team. You make a friend for life. I think you make a story for life if you just say, if you got an exit row and you say, Troy, congratulations on going to
Would
the
you
Steelers.
Make that trade? If you had an exit row seat and you see big Troy Fautanu, and so if you trade your seat, you are cramped into a middle seat for a three and a half.
Is Troy Fautanu going to, like, maybe feed me info as a potential source in the future?
No, you're just being a good Samaritan Mulsey.
Actually, probably not.
I don't think I would.
There's no
either,
quid
dude.
Pro quo, no. I got a sore knee here. He doesn't have any real knee concerns. One thought on your Pickett comp, like the whole, like, I know you weren't comping it. One fundamental difference that I think we can all agree on. Kenny Pickett, almost everybody had as going later. Like, the Steelers picked him much earlier than I think a lot of people thought, other than the idea that the quarterback is a premium position, so it always gets knocked up boards. Pretty much the lowest we've seen this guy mocked in the first round in people's big boards was 17. Most people had him as a consensus top 10 to 12 player, and that is a very fundamental difference from Pickett.
And he got flagged for a knee injury, and Rap Sheet went on NFL Network as soon as the pick was made and said that had something to do with it. There was also a Liz Frank injury, and I talked to football doc, Dr. David Chow, and he said no red flags.
Yeah, I think that...
Which put me at ease.
I think that the fact that Mark Bruner's their West Coast scout and his son was on that team, it might have made them feel a little more familiar, but I think they also clearly felt like the smartest people in the room on Kenny Pickett. I don't think they felt necessarily that way about Fautanu. They just felt like they had a good in there that maybe justified not having to go to his pro.
Donnie, dealer's choice here. Would you rather hear Fautanu talk about punching people in the face, the depths of his Steelers fandom, or the people he has talked to so far who are already getting him set up to start his job and the relationships he's making that are already helping him ingratiate himself into what the Steelers are doing?
Easy one, punching people in the face.
Okay.
I think just the mentality that I play with, I think that's one thing that, you know, of course I was taught, but I feel like I've always had just the want to go hit somebody in their mouth, man. And that's just something that it's either you have or you don't. And I feel like that's something that I've always played with. even growing up, I was running the rock. I was, I had the ball in my hand, so I was trying to run everybody over. I was always the biggest kid playing, kids my age. So I feel like that's where I got it from. And then when I finally got to play up, it was a little bit easier. So, I just think that, that mentality that I do play with and just the passion that I have for this game, the amount of opportunities this game is offered me is something I appreciate so much, and that's why I'm like willing and I want to be able to put my all into it. So
I think Weidel seeks out offensive linemen that have that trait. I think that's why they brought Seumalo here, because he brought that nastiness from
mean
Philly.
SOBs. I think Jones even has some of that. Obviously, the way Hayward talked about him, a bully. Though he wasn't like talked about that way in the draft, it's clear.
I think like there's the boxing analogy of like a brawler, but I think like that has a negative connotation where the technique's not great. They're just wailing away and throwing
Correct.
Big punches.
Yes,
Fautanu has the reputation among the scouting world of exquisite technique, so he has the technique to go with the mauler side.
The most dangerous boxers and the best boxers in the world are the ones, just to keep this analogy going, who have the technique and have a very, very mean streak. The best boxer on the planet right now, pound for pound, has that.
Would you say Tyson had that?
Tyson had great technique early in his career, almost
and
unbeatable defense, and was a mean,
gigantic
mean
punching power and wanted to kill you.
Wanted
in the
to
ring.
Destroy you. George Foreman, who had maybe the greatest pure punching power of this era, was that kind
but
of a guy.
But don't you sense a gentle giant feature here where
I sense when I'm off the football field, I'm the nicest guy ever. If you put pads on and get across from me, I'm going to try to rip your head from your neck.
I'm hearing a little bit of what's the character from Of Mice and Men, Donnie? What was the guy's name, the big man?
Lenny.
There's a little bit of Lenny in there, right? He was a nice guy, but if he snapped, he would do
kind of like me, except I'm not a very big guy.
I don't even remember how Of Mice and Men ended.
There were some mice and men involved,
I don't
think.
Were there mice? Were there literal mice in the book?
Well, I mean, he would...
He killed one by accident?
Yeah, Lenny was like, he didn't know his strength,
mm-hmm.
and he would like accidentally kill small animals with his hands.
God, that has to be traumatizing.
Why did we all have
you
to
guys
read about
don't know,
this?
You guys don't know how it ended?
I don't even know if I ever read the book.
How did it end? They all died?
No.
What is this, an apocalypse story? and then the nuke went off.
Lenny gets himself and George in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert here for any.
I mean,
and then they fight their way. They fight their way out of it, John Wick style.
I'm pretty sure the book is like a century old, so I'm not going to count this as a spoiler. The guy, antagonist, says he's going to kill Lenny and make it as painful as possible. So George takes him down to like the little like river bed that they like to sit on, and he shoots him in the back of the head. You didn't know that's how the book ended?
I was not expecting
Wait, why
that.
Couldn't they just go after the antagonist?
I was not anticipating that.
Why couldn't they just go after the antagonist and whoop his ass?
Man, I think the antagonist had like a whole like crew.
Why is that such a part of curriculum? A book that ends with a poor sap getting shot in the head?
Treated like a dog, basically.
Jeez. Well, I mean, he did it so like, all right, it's quick and painless. I don't want my friend to like suffer here because I forget what the antagonist name is.
So that's the moral of the story. Okay.
I don't know. Take it up with John Steinbeck.
Malzy, I don't feel like reading any of his
Malzy,
work.
Would you like Fautanu on the depths of his Steelers fandom or the Steelers who have reached out to him so far?
Depth of fandom.
Okay.
It all started with Troy Polamalu. I was a big Troy Polamalu fan, and then kind of watching him, and you kind of get to see what the Steelers are about, how they play football, what the brand of football is, and then I kind of just took that and put it into my own game, you know what I mean? Like, what I think of when I think of the Steelers, I think of gritty. I think of, working the trenches, like just stuff that you don't see, like, but I take personal because it's part of my, it's part of my job. So it's an awesome organization. I'm just so happy.
The thing about that quote is, how many times have we had conversations where a Ben Roethlisberger or a Ryan Clark or someone that has a microphone will say like that the Steelers way has been lost and like the way that they used to do things and the accountability and everything else has gone by the wayside. Here's someone that you can tell like is aware of like here's the way that they used to win and do it the right way. And so if he has
people
any,
are gonna love him.
But if he has any standing in the locker room, you hear that clip and you think he'll want to enforce all of that. We didn't hear this audio, but he also said that when he got drafted by the Steelers, he started feverishly going back to his Twitter account and deleting tweets, because I think, like most fans,
he was like,
he had
pissed
said
off about
things
stuff,
like ripping some of the like things that went on in games and some of the players as
well.
I
wonder if he knew how to do the special the special search, and he just did it. He typed it in, boom, 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 delete.
Like, of all the things,
that's very this generation, man.
But I also, I can empathize with that so much. Like, oh,
having
crap.
Bad tweets.
Thanks, Chris. No, just like you blast someone, and now it's like, oh, wait, now you might actually have to work with these people. He's maybe questioned Mike Tomlin and some decisions he had in games and stuff, and replay reviews and lack of challenges, and, you know.
Typical Tomlin time management.
Yeah,
I can't believe
delete,
this
delete,
guy.
Delete. He's doing your secret search on Tomlin and stuff like
from,
that.
From, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah.
What if you had... Donnie, could you imagine if Pony was hiding under all of this, the fact that he had some very negative anti-Mulsey tweets that I never saw?
No, I don't. Last one here on the players that have reached out.
For me, a little kid in me, man, I'm still a fan of football. You know what I mean? Sometimes I still get starstruck seeing a lot of these guys around here. Like my 30 visit, I met Isaac Seumalo. You know, growing up watching a guy like that, he's talking to me and he's saying that he watched me play before. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not normal. For me, Dan Moore hit me up. Russell Wilson called me on my flight here. Yeah, a lot of the guys hit me up, and it's crazy to me still. I'm just really excited to kind of learn from those guys, because a lot of those guys have been around the league for a really long time, and I'm just trying to soak up as much knowledge as I can.
I take note of the fact that it's Wilson. There's no Fields yet. I think Fields knows his role at the moment and like would like to do those things, but he doesn't want to step on Wilson's toes.
You think Fields goes, if Wilson calls him, I'm allowed to text him? And just say, hey, what's up, man? By the way, we got an update on his flight from the Confluence on Twitter. Very observant. Caught the picture of him walking out from the gate from the jetway. Delta.
Ooh.
Probably flew first class.
Okay, good.
Sitting next to Vanna White.
Family, too. And that might have been booked in advance, a lot of those first class seats from Vegas. So maybe he was stuck in the, not even a business class. Might have been with the hoi polloi.
Wait,
you
don't think that the Steelers found a way to bump somebody off first class, maybe? Or it might have just had
if
an open seat?
If I found out, and I love the Steelers, if I found out that I was like, I had been in Vegas for 3 days, and I was just ready to leave, and I get like bumped off my flight.
Well, they don't just get, I don't mean they would have been like, hey, tell that guy their seat isn't there anymore.
But it's a red eye. I book first class and pay all that money because I want to sleep comfortably.
What if the flight's not full, but they say, here's $2,000 to move back to coach?
I'd do that.
Yeah, of course.
Also, what's Dan Moore think he's pulling there, being one of the guys?
Hey, man, can't wait to watch you at left guard or right guard. Heard you got a lot of position versatility.
And how does the Russell Wilson call even go through while he's in the air?
They got phones on those planes.
It's not 1998 where there's a phone that's like in the back of the seat that you go, oh, someone's, I would even know the number. Oh, look, what do we have
Russell
here?
Russell Wilson.
That's not how it works.
No?
You're supposed to go in airplane mode as soon as the flight takes.
That's a myth. Not a myth, but like...
Your phones don't work in the air,
airlines dude. Airlines have acknowledged that the whole you've got to put it on airplane mode instantly is like a little overblown.
Okay, but if I wanted to call Donnie while he was flying back from Nashville, he wouldn't have been able to
pick up. What about a FaceTime if they're both on Apple?
He would have said FaceTime.
That's the thing. I think that a lot of airlines, they have, like, I know, like,
Wi-Fi.
We flew Southwest last week.
You can
do
Wi-Fi calling.
Hook up to their Wi-Fi,
boom.
You can do, like, calling and texting.
And
I mean, FaceTime. Assuming if you have iMessage and stuff.
You can do, I think, Wi-Fi calling, though. Like,
but
I know that's a feature.
What if Russell Wilson has a Google phone?
There's no way Russell. He's an iPhone guy.
What if Fautanu has an Android?
What if he had a flip? Like Andrew Luck.
I'd respect it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All draft season, our next guest has given us top shelf analysis and breakdowns of all the prospects that have been on the Steelers' radar. And he's back to do that again to tell us about Troy Fautanu and to also look at what could be on tap tonight. 7 o'clock, the draft resumes. Steelers right now scheduled to pick 51st, 84th, and 98th. Talking about Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, NFL draft analyst, Carnegie Mellon Educated. So good. All right, Ryan, let's go with Fautanu. You had him as the 17th best prospect in the draft. I think you had him ahead of Latham as far as just, you know, some of the, and he went 7th overall. So tell me about the guy from Washington that most Steelers fans are over the moon for.
Yeah, this is such a great pick, and it's the case of just not overthinking it. And he's number one. We talked to him a few weeks ago on the podcast that I do with Rick Spielman. And number one.
Oh, fantastic. Spielman loves doing that podcast. He is just a bundle of joy on that podcast, isn't he? God, I thought Ron Cook hated his job, and then I heard Spielman.
The thing is, man, he's like the greatest guy in the world, but that's his bit. But regardless of how he feels about me, he's a big Troy Fautanu guy as well. And talking to Troy, a couple things. Number one, fantastic human being, takes football very seriously, played volleyball in high school. And he wasn't one of these kids who grew up playing volleyball, but the defensive line coach coached the volleyball team, so he went out and played. And I can't imagine seeing someone who's 6'5", 230 out there just spiking on people. And that just speaks to his athleticism. And the other thing, and I mentioned this to him, and I thought it was sort of interesting, as we talked to the players throughout the draft process, we had 5 or 6 guys say that the player they looked up to was Troy Polamalu. And Troy Polamalu, Fautanu wore number 43 growing up when he was a running back, and he sort of fashioned himself after Polamalu. So the bringing it full circle makes sense there. But in terms of what he brings to the offensive line, insanely athletic for the position he plays. There's some talk about whether he's going to kick inside or not. I think Tomlin said the plan isn't for him to play center. So whether it's right tackle or left tackle, and Broderick Jones does the other, you're already immediately better than what you were 24 hours ago because you fill a huge need. Cornerback could have been a consideration there, but you're still having issues along the offensive line. Wide receiver maybe, but it's hard not to love what Troy Fautanu brings, and he is all about football. He feels like a Steelers player, and it's exciting to know that Steelers fans are happy with it because sometimes fans, like fans in Atlanta, for example, probably aren't super pumped right now.
Ryan, I was a big Amarius Mims booster and backer going into all this, but even I would admit that if they had picked him, it was going to mean six, like Punxsutawney Phil, 6 more weeks of Dan Moore, bare minimum, because Mims has so few college snaps. Is Fautanu, in your opinion, a day one starter at either tackle spot, whatever the Steelers determine is best for him?
Yeah, I think you put him out there, and you go from there. Before I spoke with him, I went back and watched some of his pressures, and one of the things he struggled with, and he admitted this, is sometimes he'll give the spin move on the inside. And again, he has the athleticism. He has really good footwork. Maybe needs to get a little stronger at the point. But that you could say that about everyone virtually coming out, except for maybe Joe Alt at this point. or J.C. Latham in the run game. But I think the versatility and the athleticism is what makes Faltano so intriguing and so much fun to think about in this Arthur Smith offense. It's probably going to be a little bit more reliant on the run, and that's good news for Russ Wilson or Justin Fields or whomever's under center.
Ryan, I'm going to start naming off guys, and you tell me after just studying this round the clock for months if you think the player will be available at pick 51, yes or no.
All right, let's
start
it.
With the centers, Jackson Powers-Johnson and Zach Frazier.
No. Frazier's going to be close, maybe trade up.
Wide receivers, A.D. Mitchell.
Unless there's some off-field stuff going on that I don't know about, I don't think so.
Ladd McConkey.
I would love it, but I think he's going to be gone before pick 40.
Roman Wilson.
Yes.
Malachi Corley.
Yes, but the issue is separation. Can he consistently separate because he didn't do that at Western Kentucky?
All right, defensive tackles, Newton and Fisk from Florida State.
I think they'll both be gone potentially by pick 45. Johnny Newton's a first-round talent.
Okay. Inside linebackers, Peyton Wilson, Junior Colson.
Colson probably not. Peyton maybe because of the injury history. He's 24 years old.
And then the corners, DeJean, Kool-Aid, the kid from Michigan whose last name Saint I'm going to make a mess of, and then Max Melton, Rutgers.
Cooper, no. Kool-Aid, no. Sainer still probably not. I heard that teams could be picking him pretty early as we get started here in a little bit. Max Melton potentially. And I'll throw another name out there. Who's the other kid? Oh, Renardo Green might be a little rich at 51, but the Florida State cornerback is incredibly physical, and he could be a potential target.
Am I leaving out a name here, Chris, that you think you'd
on the
consider?
Quarterbacks
no,
list?
No, any of these positions that you would
How
consider
How about Chris
51?
Jenkins, the kid from Michigan?
I didn't love his tape, Chris. But again, the issue with the Michigan players, especially on defense, you have to keep in mind is that sometimes they're played out of position. We saw it with Rashawn Gary. Last year with Mozzie Smith at Dallas. So Chris Jenkins has the bloodlines. I don't think I would take him at 51, but if you told me he went, I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, here's a random one for you. If Spencer Rattler is on the board at 98, I don't think any of us actually think that there's a chance that happens, but let's just say somehow somebody finds a picture of him in a gas mask bong. Should the Steelers take him at 98?
He could be there at 98. I think it's going to be close. I think he has a chance going round two because he had this run on the top six, these six quarterbacks here. I just don't know. If you have Justin Fields there, you're running out of space. I know Justin's only got one more year left in the deal. I love Spencer. Like, I think he's a top 100 guy. But I just don't know if there are other needs you need to address, especially if you don't get a wide receiver or you're not able to get a center at pick 51.
So if you think the centers are gone and you for wide receivers, you gave me Wilson and Corley would be there. Melton would be there. One of the inside linebackers, I think you said Colson. So in that situation, what would you do with the 51st pick, Ryan, if you were sitting next to Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin on draft night?
Well, if you love Zach Frazier, and Zach Frazier moves well in space, the center out of West Virginia, maybe you move up five or six or seven spots. We saw a bunch of teams move around, especially the second half of the first round last night. And you can't have enough offensive line. So I think if you like that guy, move up and get him. And then you're going to find some wide receivers rounds three and beyond if you don't get the guy that you're necessarily targeting. Or let's say Ladd McConkey falls 10 spots. He's there at 40. Maybe you consider that because I think he's a special player.
So it sounds like you don't like really love the guys who will be there if they just stay pat at 51, if I hear you right, in terms of the needs that they have.
It feels like the spot where you're just sort you're going to be tweening it. So right, so maybe a little too rich or not rich enough. But again, we'll see somebody fall because yesterday I had five first round grades that fell out of the first round. So there's going to be some guys there they could target. Maybe it's a position we're not necessarily thinking about. Maybe it's an edge rusher or a cornerback position that we don't necessarily have targeted as we speak here.
Jalen McMillan at 98, right around where you think he should get drafted, or would that be a bit of a reach for the Steelers if that's what they did?
No, I know teams don't like him as much as I did, but I think he's a day two guy. If he went early round four, I would sort of be surprised. So I would take him there. He's a really solid, good player. Can come in right away, contribute as a number three.
What is his, like, I know Polk is pretty much a slot guy, the other Washington receiver. What is McMillan's best pro attribute? Because he is a name I've randomly zeroed in on here at wide receiver.
Yeah, he didn't test quite as well as Polk. But he consistently catches the ball well. I think he has some yards after the catch ability. He can run through arm tackles, and he's a little bigger. So I think he gives you some of that big play potential we saw with Michael Penix Jr. chucking the ball down the field. He's not Roma Dunze. He's not the athlete of Polk, but he's consistent. And if you have Pickens and you need a number 2/3, I think McMillan can get you there. You might want a little more dynamism, but I don't hate the pick. And the funny thing is that, you know, Ricky Pearsall would have been a consideration there for most people not named Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, but obviously he went in the first round. So that's one less name, and that's sort of the player I would be thinking about in terms of size, speed, and ability to catch the ball.
Where do you think they'd have to move up to get Powers Johnson, Ryan?
It's so funny because you and I, we've talked for weeks now that I thought Powers Johnson was a first-round pick, and then last week I
you liked him better than Barton. I remember we talked about that. He was your center.
And I was talking to folks, and they're like, he's going to fall out of the first round, and it was unclear why. There's no injury history. I think some teams just didn't love his tape as much as the media did. Again, if he's there 38, 39, 40, I'm making phone calls because he's starting day one for you because there is no plan B. And Senior Bowl, he dominated. He had really good tape out of Oregon. Maybe the fact that he plays center and doesn't offer the versatility of Graham Barton, who's center guard, maybe that's part of the reason why he's not he's still available.
All right, so in a dream scenario, among all the guys we talked about, Ryan, the best player the Steelers can come away with in the second round tonight is?
I mean, Jack Powers Johnson 1, Zach Frazier 2 for me. Let's solidify the offensive line, and then you can worry about the other stuff as you circle back in the later round.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Getting mixed reviews, I'm noticing, I think, on one thing, and that's whether Zach Frazier is going to be there at 51. Not only that, then, getting mixed reviews on will the Steelers even be interested. Are we
in the mixed is Kabali, who doesn't think they want to sign.
Well, here's the one thing I'll say. I'll say this much. Would it stun you that we went from, generational Graham Barton to maybe they actually just were telling the truth about not being that concerned with center and they're comfortable getting a Van Pran or a Norzad and plugging that guy in sooner rather than later? Positional value, Pony.
The only way I would say I agree with that is if there's a wide receiver and corner.
I'm not telling you, like, I agree with it as a good move, bad move. I'm just saying, hypothetically,
saying from
they
there,
might devalue the position.
I honestly don't think that they were against drafting a center with the 20th pick. I think that's why they brought those three center prospects in here. I don't think they did that just to blow smoke up Jerry Dulac's ass. I don't think that's why they did it. I think they legitimately know that they have a center conundrum. And I thought that Fittipaldo's reasoning was spot on. The guy that sets your draft board is a college center who came from a place where they had Jason Kelce and now works for an organization where they have two of the greatest centers of all time. Like, I think they want one. But if they deem a corner or a wide receiver to be more valuable, like someone who they think is a first-round player falls to them at pick 51, then I think they could pick that guy. I disagree with – maybe Mark will end up being right, but I just disagree with the idea that they're actually content with Nate Herbig. When they had all of last year to play him and never
didn't. Well, let me put a fine point on it. This differs from Mark, I guess. They might not be content with Nate Herbig, but they might be content with somebody like Van Pran or Hunter Norzad. Norzad coming in for that top for that 30 visit.
Sure.
That just continues to stick in my mind. If you really think that there's a guy, and he's old too. He's 24, Pony.
We lived through nightmares of centers blowing up their entire offensive line. We lived through that with Kendrick Green.
I understand that, but I think
that would be not learning from your mistake.
Norzad's
Chris.
A bigger guy than
But
than
still
Kendrick
though, it would
Green.
Be asking a fourth round pick to start day one like you did with Dan Moore and thinking everything
it
is gonna be just
it
fine.
It does happen in other places.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.